Ladies and gentlemen, the red or the blue pill, the choice is yours.
Welcome to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Your host, Peace Award-winning researcher Ole Damagod. To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe.
I'm here today with my new friends, Cythorn and Conspiracy Granny, who are what I would call extraordinary human beings who have taken the step from just being to also doing, and in a beautiful way, a non-violent but extremely courageous way, showing what it's possible for a so-called ordinary person to do to make a difference. And so it's with a really great, great joy that I welcome you here on the show.
Thanks, Ole, for having us.
Yes, we're excited.
Very excited.
We're just the average Joe. We really are.
We've always been a fan of yours, man, and we know you've been doing this for 30 years. It's just amazing. We are big fans, I'm telling you. You are the people we look up to, Ole. Nobody else on this planet.
It feels like you're blowing some smoke up my butt, but there
you go. Oh, shit. You've earned it, man. You are a man, brother.
Anyway, would you mind telling us a little bit about what it is you've done in the face of these atrocities that are being put on top of us.
Sure. Yeah, it seems to be what we've got going on here in Texas is we seem to be in crisis alley, as I call it. Everywhere you turn, even if you look up random Texas school bus crashes, you're gonna look at them real quick and find out they're all fake. I mean, it seems like everything, but I think we figured it out, Ole, what's going on here. Every situation that's going on across Texas in specific is the NTSB is now taking the forefront on every single investigation, where in the past it was only the sheriff's department. They have basically federalized our police force right under our noses. So what we're trying to do is get out there, and since they're putting all these hoaxes around us in our immediate area, we have to go investigate them. They're obviously fake.
This is what I think is really important, not to jump to conclusions right away, but once after a while, when you really start digging into these different situations, it just keeps occurring or repeating itself all the time. At least that's my experience, and I've been down this alley for many years. So please tell me, what is it that you found that you say or that you feel that is fake, and in what way are you dealing with it?
Yeah, personally, all we have to do is really just stop, and just like you do, is break them down frame by frame on the footage that the mass media provides to us themselves, and we can see things. And I'm sure, and I've heard that you were once an actor yourself, an extra on sets. Were you not?
Yeah.
And that's exactly where I got what I call crisis eyes, is I can see through it because we've worked on professional studio Hollywood. I worked on the NBC series Revolution, where they brought a lot of this into the forefront of what I think is coming. And they actually introduced me to the smart dust nanos that they actually used in there. Nobody could understand what that was about, but now I know. But anyway, being on that set and playing a Texas Ranger on the show Revolution taught me everything I needed to know about moulage, about the actors, about the sets, about the things that are right, the things that are wrong. And we see in these actors and these shows that we're seeing very bad B actors, if not C, and they're missing all the things that we're able to catch, where a normal producer on a set would have caught those things and corrected them before they went to production.
Mm-hmm. They don't care. They don't have to care, because they can just pull off anything, and then we all buy it, except for a couple of us. And so they don't have to be good actors. They're D actors, by the way.
No, but
they're
also
not,
I think
not B.
All the good ones are already taken, isn't it, like that? So because
right.
They need to have people that will not be recognized, and all the good ones are taken. So that is why they're left with, I mean, bring me on, I would be useless. So,
right.
I was good at walking in the background, sitting in the background, chewing chewing gum in the background, these type of things. But
yes.
So.
But watching and learning the whole time, I know you're just like me. I mean, we didn't just go to these sets and sit around and talk and bullshit like the rest of the people. No, no, no. I was studying the whole time I was there, how the cameras worked, talking to the set, talking to the grips, talking to the people doing the work. I wanted to learn what they were doing too for some reason. And now I see why. Now today, it has definitely benefited me.
The fakery jumps out at you. If you have crisis eyes, you know, it's hard to swallow because you can see the fakery, whereas most people don't want to see it.
Mm.
But we're here to tell you, it's here.
It is indeed. The reason I was so interested in learning was, for one thing, I thought it was interesting. But also, we were in such a tight or horrible financial situation. We had just left Sweden and moved quite abruptly to Spain. So I was desperate to get any type of job as an extra, but also in that crew. So I was trying to learn everything, you know, anything from lighting to how they did with the wiring to extras to whatever, just to get a job. So this is why I was so intent on learning, and it's really benefited me as well.
No doubt. I can see that. No doubt. You have the eyes. You see right through their bullshit.
It's like you, once you see it, it's you can't unsee it.
Right.
No, because the thing is, I don't envy them because they have to set the whole thing up and they have to stay to the same theme more or less, that there's a boogeyman out there and it's going to scare the living bejesus out of us and then we're going to do as we're being told. But how many times can you vary the theme of being scared? It's like... So not easy for them, especially they need to be the hero.
When is it going to end, Ollie?
Tomorrow.
We're just wondering, where does all this lead? I mean, what is the big game here? Is it World War III? Is it the dollar collapse? I mean, what mass catastrophe do they see on the horizon where we've got to be brainwashed to accept such mass casualty situations? What is this?
I can only say what I've learned from other researchers like David Icke from the early 90s, where so much of the things that he predicted, I met him somewhere mid 90s or something like that. So many of the things that he has predicted from studying, I mean, and putting together so much information has come true. And what he's talking about is like the New World Order, which I totally believe is what we're seeing. And
absolutely,
the methods of how to get us into a total one world fascist state, one digital currency, absolute horrific scenario around that one.
Sure.
2/3 of us depopulation, thank you and goodbye, through vaccines, chemtrails, horrible food, sick hospitals, all of these things. One world army consisting of the American army together with NATO and the UN troops as a controlling force, not as a protecting force. A one world religion, so that their religion, they will destroy all the different religions and spirituality that is giving us the power. They will just take that away. And then they will be our gods. And then they will use us as slaves. I don't get it. I mean, I think their mentality is like a cancer growth, you know, the same type of mentality that it would just thrive and thrive and thrive. And the end goal, the carrier will die and then the cancer will die as well. So absolute madness.
Do we think this is the first time this has happened? I mean, hasn't there been previous civilizations? I mean, do they carry the same knowledge over themselves? I mean, is that what's buried in the Vatican vaults? I mean, there's just too many questions, and the demons are not giving us any answers. There's no doubt. This is a scary time. Are we going to see World War III, in your opinion?
No. Until it happens, I'm not even going to think of it.
Really?
But at the same time, we have stored food for quite a while. We have water supplies. We have these things. So it's a matter of not being blind either.
Right. Yeah, we have also, we're well prepared, as you might
guess. I'm sure you are.
And you can imagine how well prepared we are here in Texas.
But what I find really interesting about you is that, I mean, Texas is the pit hole of the New World Order. When you see,
oh my God,
some of these things that are being carried out,
it's the headquarters.
It is the headquarters in many ways of a lot of the things. So you're right in it, and still you're doing what you're doing, which I can only love and applaud. I tell you, it is so inspiring. Because if you wouldn't mind just describing to the listeners the type of videos you have made, which is where I saw you the first time.
Yeah, what happened, and that's why we're going to try to put together a little program too, to get all the little guys out there with some Nikon P900. If we can just get that Zoom camera into everybody's hands, they don't have to get as close as we've had to get sometimes right in the middle of these police. And I mean, you can see in their eyes, they want to hurt you real bad. But that camera has really saved us a lot of grief, and it's exposed a lot. So I hope everybody can get one of those to begin with. But no, we actually kind of think it's funny as hell to kick these guys in the teeth and go in there and walk amongst them, and they don't know what's going on. And sometimes we end up there before it even gets started. I mean, like the Alpine school shooting hoax. I mean, I pulled up into a secondary parking lot, and they actually ended up police taping me and my vehicle into the scene. But, you know, all protocol went out the door on that. You know, here's this guy walking across in black with a camera on my head, camera on my chest, camera in my hands, all black objects dressed in black, and I'm walking across the grass alongside the building, walking up on all these police and, you know, AR-15s, and I'm there standing on the side of the road as the feds start rolling in, and not one person asked me to identify myself. Not anybody say, hey, what are you doing, sir? This, that, and the other. No, no, no. They thought I was part of the drill.
Do you know, one time I was part of shooting, I think it was a Fanta commercial, down on a beach on the island of Mallorca, and it's a beautiful beach. I mean, absolutely incredible for this type of commercial. But what they didn't think of was that it was actually a nudist beach as well. And there were these German old guys that came into the background of the footage all the time. The producer or the director, every 5 minutes he had to, Stop, cut. Take a German guy out of the picture. This is exactly how we can sabotage it. I mean, what you've been doing, things like that, just to walk straight across in the background, you know, chewing gum, spitting tobacco or something, just messing it up.
There you go.
It's fantastic.
It is. It's funny. We've been lucky for some reason. It's like they're giving it. I mean, the Lockhart balloon crash hoax. I mean, I was out there looking across a straight, barren field, 1 mile that direction, flying a drone at the time, practicing with my drone that we have a camera attached to. There was no balloon. And then I heard 350 caliber shots go off, and I actually said out loud, that's okay, I have one too. You know, I knew what I was hearing because my father does have a big 50 caliber rifle. But anyway, so there was no balloon, and then, I mean, we were down there within minutes. There was no balloon, no bodies. We got all the footage from down the tracks. I mean, it was one hell of a production. But they didn't even bother with the balloon was the point. They didn't even bother rolling out the big balloon.
But here we are.
They're bringing it to us all. Right to our front door. This was within a mile of our front door.
But the way I see life, it's almost like if you put yourself make yourself available, set the intention, something is using you to do, and you will be these type of situations, suddenly you will just find yourself in the middle of them, just like you are now, because you have taken the step, you've taken very brave steps, very distinct steps, clear steps forward, and it will come to you, and once again, you've got yourself a fan club here. But I would like to hear
you. And you know what? You're right on the money. What you just said is right on the money. We don't have to do anything now, and we just end up in it. We were in Austin for some reason downtown, and we walked right up on that the voter fraud that was happening that day. They were busting people right off the bus. I mean, you could tell they were straight out of Muslim countries in North Africa, and they were walking them straight into the polling booth. I mean, we filmed this. And how we just ended up catching that situation at that moment is just it's really beyond us how this keeps happening. The San Antonio thing, the same thing, conspiracy granny, driving up on that one as it's going on, you know, and then it's just, it's insane.
So come on, granny, let me hear some. How did you get involved?
I just, like he said, I just end up in the middle of stuff. If you tell my mom, I'm really not looking for this stuff. It just, you know, they think I'm nuttier than a fruitcake, but I'm just seeing, you know, I'm just using my eyes and my common sense. And I just happened to be stuck in the middle of the San Antonio Mall shooting. When I drove up on the other side of the freeway, all the EMS and the fire trucks were there. You didn't see that one because Sidethorn figured that I was getting a little crazy. And but it really upset me that, you know, we've got an emergency and there's people hurt, because I believe everybody generically to begin with, or I used to anyway. And when I drive up on people that should be on the other side of the freeway or in the other, or back at the station for the next fire that might have occurred, or the, you know, next emergency that they needed to be there for, it was real irritating to drive up on them and see them not working, not doing anything. And you didn't see that interview. But when I went across the freeway, when the little boy raised his hand, and like, that's what they do when they want to get your attention when somebody's running the show. So it just flashed that they were crisis actors. So I didn't know what I was doing. It just kind of happened.
I'm going to play some of these video clips here in between some of the talking here, so that people can see for themselves.
Absolutely fun.
But anybody can do it. You know, if you see something going on, get over there and see if it's really going on. You know, I just have an iPhone. I don't have any, and I'm kind of loud and obnoxious, but anybody can do it, and you don't have to be brave. Just, you know, find out the truth, and that's all we're doing. We just want the truth. Is that so? You know, why is that so difficult?
I don't know. That's what I want to.
We want the truth.
The truth. I love the truth. I'm absolutely in love with truth. So. Let me just explain, if people don't understand what it is, what you're doing. What you're doing is you're finding yourself in these situations or going to these situations that you suspect with a camera and putting the camera right up the nose of these people who are carrying it out while they are carrying it out. Or I thought it was brilliant as well. I think it was after one of these mall shootings, San Antonio mall shooting, where you went, I think the day after, is that correct? And then started talking to these different security people and so on, where they themselves start talking about, well, I was off, I wasn't here yesterday, and it was closed. And then you approached the real people that were involved with the drill, almost making jokes about that there had been a drill. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was the next day, and we actually got the security guard at the end at the bank. He wasn't actually there, but he knew about all the false flags and everything, and he admitted that was one also. And but it was, you could get the feeling the minute we walked into that mall, you knew that all eyes were on us. I mean, they just knew we weren't right. We knew they weren't right. It's just the feeling you get when you're amongst these people. I mean, same thing when we went to the funeral after that day. It was the same thing. It was the same actors, same feeling, the same everything you get from these people. They're just, they feel off. And I can't explain it. We don't even think they're human, all day, to be honest with you. I mean, they're very strange individuals, all of them. They don't act human. As we know, they can't even produce a tear. So we don't understand that. Well, that's some of the questions we wanted to ask you today. Why can not even that bad of actors produce a tear?
If there's nothing to cry for.
I guess so, but yeah.
There.
But that is crazy. But yeah, that day was pretty exciting. They didn't waste any time letting us know that we weren't welcome there, the media is not welcome there, and that it was private property and that we needed to leave.
Because what you say, that you attended a fake funeral, is that true?
Yeah, so a crisis actor funeral for that victim, the one victim that was shot at that mall. We actually went 1 week later, exactly 1 week later on the next Sunday, they had his funeral. And it was a mannequin.
Describe the funeral itself.
Yeah, it was definitely CIA was there, FBI. You could tell the agents were there with the glasses. I filmed some of them close up, too, and had some still shots, and I froze it on the video of the crisis actor fake funeral. And it was an eerie bunch. I mean, everybody in there, all the women in there were wailing and moaning and this, that, and the other, but not one single woman in the whole place produced one tear. We actually looked and made quite an effort to make sure we looked at every one of them to see if any one of them could actually pull it off for the first time, because we've still challenged ourselves to one day please find one of these crisis actors that can cry. And we haven't been able to do it. But it was quick. It was a quick funeral service. And I mean, this is the second one I've been to. I also went to the father and son victims that were killed in the Nice truck attack. They were from Austin, Texas, and they held their funeral service here in Austin, Texas. And I went and filmed that whole funeral. And it was once again crisis actors, bad crisis actors. They were blowing their lines at the podium, the supposed brothers and sisters. It was the worst acting performance I ever saw. And they were under heavy guard. There was a group of about 60 of the crisis actors that was supposedly the family, and they were under heavy escort, heavy guard. They went to their own private service in another building after the rest of the public got turned loose. And it was really a strange feeling in the whole place once again. And this recent San Antonio fake funeral that we went to, it felt exactly the same way. You knew that we were the only people in the building that weren't paid to be there.
The lady next to me, she, from the beginning to the end of the funeral, she had a Kleenex, and she'd sniffle, and the Kleenex was so dry, I couldn't wrap my brain around it. You know, I wasn't going to cry, but she sure acted like she was crying. But I lost a friend a week later, and I was at her funeral or his funeral and tried to compare the difference. I had to somebody go get me a Kleenex. I mean, I used my Kleenex. This woman didn't, there wasn't a tear on it. And luckily I was sedated and I had hurt my back. I think I would have decked her. So that was a good thing. I'm really never on pain meds. And that was the one day I couldn't really walk. And she's really lucky that I couldn't walk that day.
I was very lucky, Ole.
Yeah, he was lucky.
We both went to jail.
It would not have been pretty. You better produce a tear because I'm fixing to give you one.
Listen, so, I was one of the speakers in Dallas.
Hey, look at that!
And I got this one.
That's exactly what my parents say, and they're from Germany. They always say that we don't call 911.
We call 911.
Damn right. We don't either here. Hell no, we don't.
Don't have to.
Yeah, we don't need them. They're just another. To be honest, in this crisis world we live in, we realize, and especially hearing our local sheriff get up here and lie about this Lockhart balloon hoax right to the public space, it tells me that they're just another armed thug gang. That the good people we're stuck between the street gangs and the streets in the cities on one end, and the good people got these other thug, corrupt group of liars that are on the other end. I mean, the good people are stuck in the middle, and they want to take our arms with that kind of odds going against you. Oh my God, that's not going to happen. You know, we'll never lay down our arms or hand them to them voluntarily ever. Mm-hmm. It'll never happen. Not in my family.
Calling for all thornies to unite. The people that are sick and tired of being lied to, cheated, stolen from, polluted, dropped. Don't get me started.
She's got grandkids. She gets pretty upset. That's why I sedated her before we go to the funeral.
No, it was a back issue. I couldn't walk.
Can I ask you, when you said that the group was heavily controlled, could you describe that?
Yes, absolutely. The main handler in the most recent funeral, that she made damn sure that everybody moved and left and made her leave her the space directly in front of us, in the pew right in front of us, directly in front of me. And I'm sure she knew that I had cameras, and we had cut out a hole in the back of a Bible and, you know, stuck a GoPro in there too. So I'm sure she noticed that. Stuck that in her face pretty good. But yeah, we got them pretty good, and we got we were able to at least capture all of the license plates in the parking lots too. So we got that, if we can ever get to a point where we can follow this up. And we've got one of the, as of yesterday, one of the security guards has been calling me and trying to convince me that someone actually died there. but yet he didn't see anything. He saw the blood, this, that, and other. But you know, that's just another paid troll. And actually, I tracked him all the way back to Sandy Hook Facts page, where he was making comments with C.W. Wade about me. So there you go. And he claims, and he gave me the security line to the mall and everything else. I mean, I haven't verified it or called it up, but his story sounded pretty real. He knew details. So I would say he's one of the operatives working out of the San Antonio area for sure. But I don't know what his main goal was. He tried to get me to say that everything we do was to make money. And this, I mean, he tried to actually make me say things or agree to things that, of course, anybody that knows us knows it's not true. We don't do this for any reason but to expose you bastards, because we don't like being lied to. Mm-hmm. But that's what's going on. The trolls from that particular funeral we went to and everything else, and they have called us quite a bit, making threats and this, that, and the other. So they have a group working out of San Antonio that definitely specifically have been assigned to harass us.
So do you think that the people at that funeral, were they locals? Are these people that you recognized or you know?
No, definitely not. No. They were, like we said, it really was, we knew we were the only two people in that whole entire building that was not paid to be there. And that includes the funeral directors, everybody involved there. They even had a biker group come in and just do a parade through, like they were some, but we actually talked to them in the parking lot on the footage, and they didn't know anybody, didn't know the victim. They were just asked to come there, put on a little show, and then leave. I mean, it was all scripted. It was all an act. But, I mean, everybody in that entire building, including the FBI agents and the CIA and the cops that were there, you could tell they were detectives in the back. I've got screenshots of all those. Every single person was paid to be there except for us. I truly believe that.
So how many in total would you say were in the group itself?
In that whole funeral, that I would consider the players or the actors, probably a good 100.
That many.
And then there was about that same amount at the funeral, the niece truck attack victim funeral that they held at a big church in Austin, Texas. It was about the same amount that they were escorting and had Austin PD escorts, was a group of about 80 to 100, I would estimate. They even had rolled out some really elderly actors to play the grandparents or something. I mean, they were in that group.
Have you ever compared footage to see if they're possibly
some of the same people?
Yeah.
No, we haven't got that far. No, we haven't got in depth. We're putting a little studio together now so we can do some big dry erase boards and everything else and start putting the numbers together and start putting these things and breaking them down.
Excellent.
You know, so we can visually, you know, get a grip on these, because they're just flooding us with them right now. It all started with Waco when we went to the Waco Twin Peaks biker shooting after that week after, and we went to talk to the sheriff's department. We went every single place legally I could think of, to the courthouse. I have some footage from inside the courthouse talking to a woman there. If I published it, she would instantly probably go to jail and lose her job. So we won't ever do that. We thought about real hard about the woman on the fourth floor in the hospital that admitted on film that we did publish. She did say she, in a roundabout way, but it's obvious what she's saying, that she admitted there was never any victims in that hospital or families of the victims. We got her to admit that. Took me a long time to decide whether I should publish that or if she'd lose her job, but I'm hoping she didn't lose her job. But if she did lose her job, she needs to find another place to work, because that hospital is corrupt. And that Scott and White of Waco, Texas, is involved with the government on the false flags. Period. We proved that.
So if you look at that group that were there at this funeral, did you see any could you see like handlers or controllers? Were you scared in any way, or did you just see that they were there by free will?
No, the one blonde-headed woman that you'll see in all the footage during that funeral is sitting right in front of me. She was definitely the handler. She was standing to my right there directing at one point and moving people around, situating them. And also we saw a Spanish couple that was playing a couple in the funeral. We saw them before they came up. They were sitting next to us at the light before they turned into the funeral home to go in. It was a black man with his Spanish wife. They were a couple, but when they got inside to the funeral inside, she got with a Spanish guy and they became the couple. And the black guy that was her husband went and sat with another couple of guys, and they acted like they were cops. So it was real. We got to see them actually go into role, you know, go into character from the parking lot. She became another man's wife once they sat down in the pews.
You're getting yourself into some hairy situations.
Oh yeah, we know every day they probably drool and dream about killing us. There's no doubt. We are definitely a thorn in their side.
Well, you're living up to your name.
But it's funny though. You know, you gotta laugh all it. You gotta. Yeah. I mean, we have to continue to laugh at them because they are that pathetic. They really are that pathetic. We're not scared of them. We have good and righteousness on our side, just like you do. That's why we walk in the spirit. Fuck them. Mm. We're not scared. I know you're not scared. You're just like us. Mm. We love it. We got warriors all around the planet. Hell yeah. And we're going to join one day. We're going to cut their head off.
I'm not going to try that, though.
We want everybody to get together, all the good people.
We're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're working on that. I'm not into lynching parties, though.
No lynching parties. Only when they're prosecuted, found guilty, they need to be held accountable for their crimes against humanity, period. Yeah. Let the people decide, and I know what the people are going to decide.
Yeah, because the thing is that I think what these people that are involved with false flags, what they're not aware of, really, at least I hope they're not, but it's like it's treason what they're doing. It is treason.
Yes, treason to the people, if not a government. Yeah. Fuck governments. It's all about the people anyway. Governments are supposed to be the people. So once it is, you're right. When you get down to the bare roots, it's treason against the people, and they should be found guilty of such. Not in a court, not in a government's court, people's court.
Yeah. But the good news, what I think, is that so much mayhem that we believe is happening in the world is not.
It's, no.
Like you said, with accidents and with all kinds of weird things you wouldn't think that they would spend time on messing with. But it's just like, that didn't happen either, and that didn't happen, and that didn't happen. And I've been in so many places looking for graves from victims of these operations. I've never found anyone that I can say for sure that that person died. It's a bizarre situation to be in.
Right, right. Just like the few graves that are in Newtown, in Sandy Hook. I mean, they're obviously nothing was ever dug up, but there's the headstones showing graves. But, you know, without the proper equipment, like Wolfgang's mentioned before, of getting some sort of that sonar equipment they have, I mean, without doing that, but how are you going to get, that's trespassing for number one, they're going to get you. I mean, they've got us over a barrel on a lot of the city. And now, what about this yesterday, Sandy Hook 2 out of San Bernardino? I mean, that's, I know.
That's what we said.
That's exactly what we said. We said we're not going down that rabbit hole.
Nope. No Sandy Hook here.
What's your opinion?
I just predicted the big one. I predicted the London one.
Yeah, we know. That was awesome.
A month before that happened. Then I predicted the one this weekend in Copenhagen, but instead it happened in Stockholm. I believe possibly because I did sort of like a minute by minute trying to expose what was going down in Copenhagen, you know, when they started blocking off the streets, when they stopped, changed bus lines, when they did all of these type of things. I was putting it out, boom, 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 boom. I was totally exhausted, I tell you.
Oh, man.
But then nothing happened. So option one, I was totally wrong. Option two, I was right, but they redirected it. And option three, well, I don't know what the third option was, but
but they did it. Yep.
At least nobody got hurt. That is the main thing for me. And, you know, the thing was that they leave all of these clues in the big operations about the next upcoming one. So, and the thing, the one that tracked, that pointed me towards Copenhagen was a bridge sign and some other stuff on Westminster Bridge. And the bridge sign said blah, 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 and some dates and times and direction that pointed towards Denmark and so on. But it turns out afterwards, since nothing happened in Denmark and Copenhagen, that the bridge that was said to be closed between these two on April the 8th and April the 9th, between these hours, was not closed. So that bridge sign was a sign, you know, as part of the operation, because it wasn't aimed at the bridge itself, which it said that it was there to do road work, but they did not do it. So
Yeah, we saw that. We watched a couple of your videos, your most recent videos, and saw where you had those signs and all that. And then what was that Danish company? Eat? What is that?
Let's Eat.
Yeah, Let's Eat.
But
yeah.
But I think...
Always.
But it's almost like Let's Eat Shit, you know, like eat it to us.
Yeah, oh yeah. Of course, always rubbing in our face. Did you catch the 33 in the Oslo footage? We were watching some of your Oslo footage and everything else, and we watched the BBC, of course, lie about the whole situation. So we were going to ask you that, since that's your baby. How many people got killed in that whole production, from the city to the island, and how many do you think, in your professional opinion?
I really don't know. I'm very confused. What we're talking about is the mass shooting on Utøya in Norway and the bombing of the government building in Oslo. And the official number, as far as I remember now, is 77, number they love. It started with 86, but then apparently they had miscounted the dead bodies, so easily done.
Right.
And so it went down to 69 and then up to 77. So I would fire their butt for not being able to calculate the, I mean, how difficult it is. There's one not breathing. There's one missing a head.
It's every time.
Yeah,
rabbit
I know.
Holes, rabbit holes.
They do it all the time. They do it all.
They do it because I've seen it at the offices all over, where people will come in the next morning, and then they'll argue for an hour, and they'll start researching on just one thing: how many victims there were, not anything, what had happened, what led up to it, what's going to lead from it. No. They get everybody arguing for the first 30 minutes that should be discussing a lot more important topic. They're arguing about one thing: the numbers. Ridiculous. But we looked at a lot of that footage, I have to be honest with you, Ollie, and man, if you could punch up the BBC and look at some of that footage there of that little documentary they did of the shoreline where they were doing the evacuation, I could break it down and show you a few things on there that you know is fake as fuck. They got the car, they got the ambulance with 331 right there in the main screen, right in the center of the screen. If you look at the five rescue vehicles that are coming in, look in the background from them to the distance of the island. I mean, those are all crisis actors on that. Why? And the people that are throwing victims over their shoulders and walking right by open ambulances to walk up that steep hill leaving from the dock area. It's all staged. It's all fake. Everybody on that dock scene is a crisis actor. Those people are under moulage 100%. So I'm just saying, if part of that evacuation from the island was fake, I would say it was all fake. That's my opinion.
I tell you, I've been there twice. I've been to the island twice. I went to Norway. I'm one of the few, three or four, that has really dug into this thing. And I went to Norway not knowing, you know, it's scary, just like you put yourself in these situations. Every time I travel, I don't know who's expecting me at the airport, you know. So I went. And so what I did was I did two public talks in Oslo. One on Tuesday, one on Thursday, and we went to the island on Wednesday. But on the first one, I presented the whole thing just as I do. There's a YouTube video called When Terror Struck Norway. They're just breaking it down, making it look absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if you watch that video, it's 2 hours where your jaw is just down here. At least the whole time I was investigating this case was just that. Are you kidding me? Anyway, so what I did was on the Tuesday. There's some strange background now. Okay, on Tuesday, I said, please, anyone in the audience, contact families, contact members, friends of the victims, and let them know that I'm here and I'm so open. You know, please come, tell me, let me help you to solve this horrific trauma. And on Thursday, zero came of the family or friends. No one turned up. So I don't get it. I really don't understand. Also, when you look at the aerial footage of that island, there's supposed to be like 500 kids there hiding. Where are they? You don't see anyone running around hiding. You see like a handful. So I am very confused, to say the least.
Yeah, sorry about the background noise. All that. It looks like this geostorm's coming in on us real hard, and that makes sense that they would target us today. But anyway, yeah, we looked at that same footage you did, the aerial footage and everything else. I mean, the numbers we saw them come out originally was 600 to 700 children there, and then yeah, like they got it down to 500 to 600. But yeah, you're seeing maybe how many 40 little tents that we saw, 40 to 50 multicolored little tents, and not a single other person running around that island. You're right. We should have seen clothing of all different colors, or just the people moving it. It should have been like an ant farm there. That's a lot of people.
They should have been all over the place, and so I'm very confused. Also, the photos of the guy arrested, the photos of Anders Breivik, and I mean, I've got four different faces that doesn't match up on this guy, and witnesses talked about everything from 1 to 5 shooters on the island as well, and also on the mainland, they heard shots being fired from different parts of the island, and also I think about 7 minutes after he was arrested, there was still shooting going on. So,
wow, I mean, bad setup. I mean, did you watch the footage of those SWAT guys coming in on that little rubber raft?
God, yeah.
Was that not the most comical thing you ever saw in your life? Yeah. I mean, what was that? A 2-horse motor on that thing? They were about to go underwater, going 1 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Is that really how you attack an island?
No.
Weren't they supposed to be, you know, top of the line rescuers?
They are the top of the. I was almost arrested by the guy who put the handcuffs on this baby, who was on that rubber boat.
Wow. And
these are hardcore. They belong to the Delta team, the Norwegian Delta team, which is totally connected with the American Delta team. I mean, they are hardcore cold warriors. And they
are very bad actors, and they put on a little photo op in that little dinghy, is what I'm saying. Those men would have never attacked an island like that at 2 miles per hour.
Yeah, but the thing is, you got 600 yards from the mainland to the island. That's 600 yards. And when I was there, we were the only one. It's out in the middle of nowhere, this area, beautiful area, out in the middle of nowhere. I was there with a Norwegian journalist, and we were just standing there waiting to see if there was any way we could get over to the island. And while we were there, this was the day before the anniversary of the shooting, suddenly there was two people that jumped out of a boat into a rubber boat with a big outdoor engine and just full speed ahead to the island. So I thought, excellent. So I timed it. I filmed it and timed it. And it took 1 minute to get to the island. But the official ones with the real Delta team, it took more than an hour while they were being slaughtered out there.
Then
the rubber boat turned around, came back, and that's where this guy and his colleague came. And really, I was when they found out who I was, he said, this guy, police guy, who was part of the Delta team, he said, a decision has been taken. We know who you are. A decision has been taken. You are not welcome here. You're free to leave on your own, or you will be escorted. And police in Denmark and Norway has nothing on you, but you have to leave. I was just like, I'm standing in the middle of nowhere, and they know what Danish police knows about me. You know, bizarre. Wow.
And that is very bizarre.
Then the thing was that my friend, the Norwegian journalist, Hans Gorder, he's the coolest dude. He's like a real hillbilly type. So cool. It's like he doesn't get that this is a sort of like an intense situation, you know. And so he said, once they identified us, he said, well, now you know who we are. Who are you? And he said, I'm not telling you anything. And then my friend said, but do you mind if I take a selfie? And he went up to like this and wanted to take a photo of him. And the guy just pushed him away, said, the only thing I can give you is my service number. Delta 034. And that was when it hit me, because the Delta team are super central in the operation. They are, in my opinion, the ones carrying it out. They were central in blowing up the government building with this is a massive operation, you know, Mossad, CIA, right. Involved with the NATO troops as well. But you have the guy that parks the van that is said to be Anders Breivik and then leaves it. You know, they say that he's dressed in a police uniform. No, he's dressed in the Delta special unit uniform with a helmet and everything. The reason for this helmet, there are three of them with helmets in that area, is because they were in a loaded target area. And they were there when there was some kind of high energy implosion weapon used to hit this government building.
We saw that because of the upper floor windows being knocked out, but not the lower floor windows.
No, not true. Every window.
Some of them? Oh, really?
But all the windows were sucked out, so all the glass was in the streets.
Wow.
And I spoke to Chip Tatum, the CIA whistleblower, and he said that the only way you can describe that, it's also only in certain streets, you know, at a certain angle towards the government building where this glass has been pulled in. And he said that that is some kind of implosion weapon that just sucks it up. And this is also what people said in the area. The people in the center didn't hear a sound, but people 25 miles away heard a massive bang and even felt the shock wave, but not wow. The people in the middle. That was dead silence. But what they said was they felt like they were being lifted up, shaken, and thrown down. So
that sounds very similar to the insides of Building 7 on 9/11. Didn't they say that was kind of an implosion situation?
No, but that Building 7 was absolutely total controlled demolition. Just
right, right. But once you saw the inside, right. There's no doubt about that. But once you saw the inside of the building, it was almost hollow. Some of the footage.
I've never seen. Please send that to me. I've never seen that.
Yeah. I'll find that footage of the Building 7. The damage. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were wondering about that Oslo situation, especially downtown, how they pulled that off, what kind of weapon, not a mini nuke or anything like that.
I spoke to Chip about this, and he said, because also I identified there was about six people with similar, almost identical suitcases, briefcases, you know, and three military guys not in Norwegian uniforms, but with these briefcases. And I said, is it possible, because they sort of got together in a group afterwards studying the demolition of the whole thing. And I said, since they were identical, is it possible that they had some kind of devices in these briefcases that were sort of marking the target area? Because the demolition was so concentrated in one certain area, and then there was nothing happening to other buildings. And Chip said that these type of weapons exist, but he had been part of testing some of it in the early 80s and up to the early 90s. But he said that some of these either electromagnetic weapons or high energy weapons or implosion weapons do exist, and that these, what would be in these briefcases, would then be target markers that you just put out to mark, you need to hit here. And so most probably it could be some kind of satellite device.
Right, or HARP. I mean, if you're starting to talk about electro-low frequency, now you're talking HARP, no doubt.
For sure. It's what I haven't been able to find out, and what I hope to one day, that there will be this weapon expert that just appears from nowhere to explain to me the implosion weapon, how does it work.
And, right.
One day we'll find out.
Oh, yes, we will. That's crazy. But it gets me worried now.
But I want to hear more. How do you end up? Tell me a little bit about being a grandmother, and then seeing the things going on, and what made you make the decision to step forward.
Well, as a child, I never got to lie. My mother would always ask me like 15, 20 questions at a time, so it was easier to tell the truth. So, you know, telling the truth is just, it just comes out of my mouth, and sometimes I'm not supposed to really tell the truth, you know, maybe just not say something, but for some reason the truth just comes spilling out of my mouth. And so, you know, when you see your child, your grandchild, and her smile and her big marble eyes, and you know, and you want the best for them. And so lying is like the worst thing you could do to me. You know, you can do a lot of things to me. Don't lie to me. And you can ask my children. Oh, no. Don't lie to mom.
Nope.
And so, you know, people just don't get the concept anymore. You know, it's a lie. Hello. So, but I think all the people running the show are psychopaths. They have no conscience. They don't care about anybody but themselves. You know, they're chameleons. They can be one person one day and one, you know, depending on, you know, who they need to please. And we got a lot of crazy people running the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to stand up. So I'm not taking it anymore. I don't know if it's, you know, once you turn 50, you're tired of taking it. And Granny's real tired of taking it. Don't lie. Don't lie. And I, you know, and I'll be sitting on the beach somewhere. Until then, I'm here.
Okay.
You're
so
not getting rid of me, people.
All of you staging false flags out there or thinking about it, don't mess with Granny. She's put an ultimatum here. She will hunt your butt down.
We don't have to even look very far. You know, if everybody would just trust me, we haven't gone very far at all. And that's how much, how many lies are being spread. You know, when you don't have to go but across the field and down the street. And I mean, it's everywhere. So come together, Thornies. We need Thornies.
We need Thornies. So how have people around you been reacting about, do they know about what the things you're up to, or do you keep it to yourself?
I'm pretty vocal about, you know, the truth. And so my family doesn't want to hear it, you know? So, they're real tired of listening to the truth. So once you open your eyes, it's hard to close them.
Yeah.
And so they don't want to hear it.
It's everybody's saying the same thing. Family and close friends, these are the ones that you should not try to speak to when it comes to. They want to hold you in the way they see you, sort of keep you in that mold. And once you start moving away from it, they feel threatened and they will do everything to keep you in locked in that position. So
we're locked up.
All locked up, yeah. No, but there's a lot of heartache around these things when it comes to families and friends.
There really is, only you wouldn't believe it. We're both of us, nobody believes in what we do.
I do.
I hope, yeah, and I believe in you, brother. So that's what we always say. We always say we have our true family now, the ones we really know and we really care about and we really love. I do. And when I say that word, I've never said it in my life until I met all you guys that really put your ass on the line against these demons. I do love you, every one of you guys.
But this is what I feel so fantastic, because it's like what people say, but how can you, you're in these dark areas, oh, it must be so depressing. The thing is, I meet fantastic people, people that have been tested through hell and back and through fire and whatever, incoming crap, whatever, and have proved themselves and are still standing. So many times when I switch the camera on, I see a new friend. I love that person. I just feel, oh my God, we'll be friends forever. Because
we already knew you before we even came on today.
Because it's pure. It's pure. It's like all the crap has been burned off and it's just this beautiful feeling, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And
we do too.
And this
You're stuck
is
with us.
And this
we're
is
not awesome. Going anywhere.
No, but I'm coming to visit you one day.
Oh yeah, you better.
Yeah, let's kick back.
My mother has a German restaurant in Bartlett, Texas. So you have a free meal, sir, and the coldest German beer on tap. They set it up like an indoor beer garden in a real old town.
Oh, I get
where it's still the brick streets out on an old western town. The town they used to film in the show Revolution. That's the same town they have a German restaurant in. So,
okay.
And I'm telling you, once I show them a couple of your videos, you're gonna have two old fans that have never. I'm telling you, you're gonna love my parents. Man.
Not that I'm German, but I really would like to come and visit you. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, you Europeans stick together, I tell you. We went back multiple times when I was a child, I tell you. A better group of people on the planet, there is none. I love you guys, man. All Europeans. My dad loved him when he was in the service over there and everything else. That's why he married my mother.
Listen, we're coming to the end of the first hour, and in the next hour, I would really like Sidethorn and Grandma to, Conspiracy, Grandma, to tell us about how they've raised like a reward for anyone who can show that there were real victims and Sandy Hook. That is one hell of a big, powerful statement.
To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe. Give yourself the gift of truth and awareness while supporting Ole's hard efforts to get it out there.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.